The last installment of the Lord of the Rings trilogy opens today. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
Of all the things to love about the third and final film of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, The Return of the King, it's the lightning shifts in scale that I find the most thrilling. I don't mean just the sudden, impossible hugeness of it. Hundreds of thousands of demonic orcs led by massive trolls and winged dragons called fell beasts and eight-story elephants called Mumakil as they surge toward a seven-tiered city that soars into the sky. I mean the way the director, Peter Jackson, cuts from that amazing vision to something small, a spiked wheel grinding as the heavy gates of the city close, then a human face, the hobbit Pippin, say, played by Billy Boyd, with his mouth grimly set and his eyes shocked open, then a few hundred thousand more marauding orcs. So you get eye-popping spectacle, then a close-up with texture and weight, then a flash of human emotion, then more eye-popping spectacle. The threads are awesome, but it's the weave that's spellbinding. This is the best of the Three Rings movies. More than that, it makes the others look even better. You can finally see the arc of the trilogy, not just J.R.R. Tolkien's, with its blend of Norse and Christian myth, but Peter Jackson's. The New Zealand director got his start in the horror genre and has always grooved on splattery excess and a manic invasiveness. It works like gangbusters for Tolkien, whose demons are the enemies of the land itself. They plunder Middle-earth with infernal machines and try to rip out its guts. They claw for the accursed title ring of power like drug addicts. Jackson brings a visceral intensity to the battle of good and evil that makes the stiff, well-mannered drones of George Lucas's Star Wars epics look like stick figures in a bad Japanese-made Saturday morning cartoon. Like its predecessor, The Two Towers, The Return of the King opens choppy, and it took me maybe an hour of its three to get up to speed. I wanted a map of Middle-earth, maybe a family tree. There are three separate storylines. The first features the martial energies of the future King Aragorn and the warriors of Rohan. In the second, the hobbit Pippin and Sir Ian McKellen's wizard Gandalf must convince the acting ruler of that seven-tiered city, a dangerously depressed guy, to mount a defense against the army of the evil Sauron. Last, the hobbits Frodo and Sam, played by Elijah Wood and Sean Astin, thread their way through treacherous mountain passes into Mordor, where they hope to destroy the Ring of Power. They're still dogged by the schizoid Gollum, who loathes himself, yet slobbers with glee at the prospect of reclaiming the ring he calls his precious. Once again, the computer-generated creature, voiced by Andy Serkis, is a shocking portrait of addiction, now fawning, now bestial, but always completely disgusting.
Listen! Leave him alone! I heard it from his own mouth! He means to murder us!
Sabo!
Smeagol wouldn't have
to fly! Ah! This horrid, fat horrid, red Smeagol! And you make some nasty lies!
You miserable little maggot! Don't you're at it! Call me a lawyer! You're a lawyer!
Mom, we're lost.
I don't care. I can't do it, Mr. Frodo. I won't wait around for him to kill us.
I'm not sending him away.
You don't see it, do you?
He's a villain.
We can't do this by ourselves, Sam. Not without a guide. I need you on my side.
I'm on your side, Mr. Frodo.
I know, Sam. I know. Trust me.
Sam wants to pitch Gollum over the rocks, but Frodo is inclined toward Christian charity for the pathetic creature, which makes him a different kind of hero than the usual sword and sorcery He-Man. But this is a different sort of epic, one in which tens of thousands of humans die to destroy what is in essence a weapon of mass destruction. The central villain, Sauron, is only seen as a giant flaming eyeball on a mountaintop, but the sense of evil is palpable, and giving one's life to defeat it glorious. People even come back from the dead to fight the good fight. If the cutting among the plot lines feels arbitrary, and it's sometimes hard to keep hold of the spiraling narrative threads, it's harder still to resist the heroic dialogue delivered with Shakespearean precision by gorgeously blue-eyed actors and actresses, and the rush of mythic imagery, one miracle following another. The Lord of the Rings saga took 7 years and a veritable army of artists to execute, and the striving of its makers is in every splendid frame. It's one of our great martial operas.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.